Well, once we learned that Senator Edward Kennedy had died, everyone all around the world was remembering him and telling us about Kennedy's life and legacy. Here are some of those voices.
Like all Americans, and I think people around the world, we're distressed at the death of a great man.
For my grandfather's commitment and persistence.
Those of us who loved him know Ted Kennedy by the other titles he held. Father, brother, the grand fromage.
To that list, we should add the title author. Ted Kennedy actually wrote a memoir. It began before he was diagnosed with cancer and was published. In fact, the first copy, we understand, was delivered to Teddy Kennedy on the day that he died. The book is called True Compass, and joining us now is publisher and editor-in-chief of 12, a publishing house that releases 12 books a year, and publisher of True Compass, Jonathan Karp. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming to the studio, because I sort of read this book when it was, couriered over to me. I also talked to the New York Times reporters who read it in the advance copy that they got. It seems to me this is a unique memoir for a whole variety of reasons. How did you get approached by the Kennedys, I presume, with the idea for this project?
They retained the best lawyer in Washington, Bob Barnett, and he contacted publishers, and we met with him about 2 years ago at his home in Washington. And he told us at the outset that he wanted to write a full and honest account of his life, and that it would be candid, and that it would be a work of personal history and national history. And it's very rare that those two qualities are intertwined in this way. And it was a unique story. Every publisher wanted it.
Well, it was certainly a unique story. And, you know, I won't say that the book is a triumph of writing style, but what it is a triumph of is these competing sensibilities of Teddy Kennedy unburdening himself with the historical knowledge that he has. And you can see it on every page. He believes it belongs to us. And that's part of the reason why he's writing this book, to tell everyone the history that only he knows, and also to make a legacy for his family. And at the back of it all is his own personal legacy. Remember me. I was the Kennedy who outlived them all. It's an interesting set of competing narratives, and it makes for a great read.
Thank you. Well, it's a testament. And he loved history. The first thing I noticed when I walked into his home were all of the history books and contemporary American history, popular historians. He invoked David McCullough a lot. In fact, his strategy in working on the book was to read it out loud with his wife, Vicky, because that was what David McCullough and his wife, Rosalie, did with all of his books. So there was a real conscious effort here to write personal history. Personal History, in fact, by Katharine Graham was another model for this book.
An amazing book.
Yeah.
Teddy Kennedy hardly needed money for this project,
right?
Why did he choose you?
I don't know. I know that it was we got along really well. I had actually been a junior editor on a book by Tip O'Neill, and maybe he felt
that probably helped.
I don't think it hurt, but I think we were very enthusiastic about it, and I really can't speak to it beyond that.
Did you believe it would come through to be as candid as Teddy insisted it was going to be when you began to look at the pages and see what he was actually producing?
I had no reason not to think so. He said it at the outset. I mean, that was what was so interesting about it. No one really knew going into this meeting. I mean, publishers have meetings with authors all the time of eminent people, and you never know what they're going to say. And what was so striking was in the first 5 minutes of the conversation, he said, I want to do this. I want to deal with everything. He mentioned Chappaquiddick in the first 5 minutes. So we had a very good sense that he was going to put it all out there in a way that he'd never done before. He was also at the right point in his life to do this. He was in his mid-70s at the time. He was healthy. He wasn't up for re-election for a long time. So there was every reason to think that, yeah, this was the time.
For me, the most poignant moments in the book are him describing learning of the deaths of his brothers. And they're all very different stories. The death of Joe, which he kind of wasn't around for. He saw his mother get the news, but he was a young boy at the time. The death of Jack and the death of Bobby.
You're right. Each one affected him differently. And I think that it got harder and harder. And I think Bobby's death probably shook him up the most because it was so close. And he realized, I think, that he could be next, and he had to live with that. And he actually came to terms with it. What he really had trouble with was the effect that had on his family. And the reason he didn't run for president a second time had more to do with the fears that his family had for him, which I thought was really interesting. And it wasn't something that I had understood until I began working on the book.
Besides that, what else did you learn that was of most interest to you as a historian and as a publisher who loves the juicy detail? I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here.
Well, I asked him who his favorite, who he thought the best president he had worked with was, excluding his brother. And I was a little surprised by his answer, not completely, but his answer was Lyndon Johnson. He felt that because of his legislative accomplishments, what Johnson had done to move the country forward on civil rights, which he felt was the moral issue of our time, and obviously all of the Great Society programs. He liked working with Bill Clinton enormously. He really liked Bill Clinton a lot, but he thought that Johnson was the best president of his lifetime. And Vietnam obviously was a tragic and terrible mistake, but he had an interesting way of talking about Vietnam. I mean, Ted Kennedy himself changed his position on the Vietnam War halfway through. And you can read this book through the prism of Iraq and realize that Ted Kennedy had similar issues that a lot of politicians had at that time. I mean,
before we go, what happened to Kennedy's demons? I mean, in the annals of confessional literature, the demons are partly what sells the book. Where did they go?
I think that some of that has been exaggerated by the media over the years. I think that he came to terms certainly with all of the loss in his life through his faith in his family. That's what his true compass was, and that's what centered him, and that's what gave him his purpose.
All right, well, you can read the first chapter of True Compass on Jonathan Karp's publishing website, 12.com, and I suspect you'll want to read more of the book if you do. Jonathan Karp joined us, publisher and editor-in-chief of True Compass. His publishing house, 12, releases 12 books a year. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Talking about the Kennedy memoir there.